Coming up on Golf Today, call him the Wizard of Oz, Cameron Smith, with an historic Sunday at the Old Course, carding a final round 64 to become the champion golfer of the year at St. Andrews. Short game check, putter check, claret jug check, mullet check. We have all the details coming up right here on Golf Today.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Here with the champion who shot 73 yesterday, and you're 9 shots better today. By the way, that is a record here for a final round for a winner in St. Andrews at the Open. What attitude did you bring to the golf course today to try to chase the lead? And once you got the lead during that 5 birdie stretch, did anything shift for you?
No, not really, to be honest. I felt as though I played really good golf yesterday, and things just weren't really going my way. And I knew if I had the same mindset going out there today and maybe just a touch more aggressive into the greens, that I could give it a good crack. And the putts went in today.
Cam, you've won here in St. Andrews. This place has winners like Hogan, Nicklaus, Ballesteros, Tiger Woods. To be a part of that group and have your name on that trophy, how impactful is that for you?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it'll ever sink in, mate, to be honest. To win an Open Championship, I think, is really cool. To do it here, I think, is really another level. This place is so special. I'd been here before and almost forgot how special it was, and got back here this week with the fans. The course is just perfect.
Does reality match the dream?
No, not really. I don't think I got this far.
Final thing, you start the year winning in Maui in record fashion. You win the Players, and now you're holding the claret jug. What do you think has changed or elevated in you as a player to be at this level now?
Just a touch more practice, to be honest. I think... some people would have called me probably lazy before maybe a year ago. Just spending an extra half an hour on the back of the range with those drivers, I think my driver has really improved, and it's allowed my iron game to really do what it's meant to do and how it's always felt. I just haven't really had the chance, and hitting more fairways has definitely been the key for me.
Dedication paid off. Congratulations. The champion golfer of the year here in St. Andrews. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, practice made perfect for Cameron Smith, joining the likes of Jason Day, Henrik Stenson, and Dustin Johnson at 20 under, lowest 72-hole score in relation to par in men's major championship golf. George, it was a huge week. So many layers, so many levels to the story, but at the end of the day, it was Cameron Smith finding a way to overcome Rory McIlroy and Victor Hovland. What's your biggest takeaway from the day?
Well, and I think that when Jordan Spieth was at his apex in, say, 2015, there would be the Spieth zone with the putter. And you could even say 2017 Open. We saw it that final 6-hole stretch. He holds the 50-footer. For Eagle, it was, you would think Jordan would make every big putt when he was in a clutch, quote-unquote, moment. We saw that from Cam Smith, but it was actually the lag on 17 that I thought won him the Open. He gets to the road hole. He had ripped off birdies on 10 through 14, pars 15 and 16. Where he was on 17, it looked like, okay, this is a likely bogey.
Right.
He's going to open it up to the rest of the field. He's going to lose momentum here, and this could open the door for Rory or Cameron Young. And you look at this lag with all the trouble with that bunker to the left, or if you bail out safe to the right, you could have a 20-foot par putt, 20 feet. He does exactly what you have to do from an execution standpoint. Gets it to 10 to 12 feet, and it just buckets. I mean, big putt after big putt drop for Cam Smith. So I thought that right there was the turning point. And once he got to 18, it was okay. No brainer. He's going to birdie post 20 under, and he's untouchable at that point.
There's a genius to playing this golf course. Seve had it, Tiger, obviously, Jack. And to see Cameron Smith, who is not necessarily the best ball striker in the game, we saw that in that round of 73 on Saturday. For him to bounce back 9 shots better on Sunday, what I've learned about this player, George, is how much more of a confrontational player he is than I originally thought. You know, when he first came out on the PGA Tour, very quiet, soft-spoken. We'll get into that just a little bit later. But look at his three wins this season. Final 36 holes alongside Jon Rahm to win on Maui, the Century Tournament of Champions. Then he makes nine birdies in a final round 66 to win the Players' Championship. Gets up and down for bogey on the 18th hole, the 72nd hole. And then we see him on Sunday at the Old Course, where the history is heavy. It's just weighing on everyone in the town and at home. Everyone knows what's at stake. Everyone, basically 90% of the fans and around the world, rooting for Rory McIlroy, him finding a way to make the putts when it counts. You don't birdie five straight holes on the Old Course. You just don't do it. 13, the toughest hole on the property outside of 17. The way he was able to make putts. I keep hearing Paul Ezinger's voice in my head. This is going to be a tough up and down here. And watching him just lag the putt perfectly or hit the chip shot required in the heat, this guy is tougher than I thought, and he's more confrontational than I thought.
He's not afraid of the big moment. And we saw him blink at the Masters, just a very poor swing on the 12th.
Right,
but he
right.
was in heat of battle there. And I thought he handled it so well after the fact, just saying it was a very poor swing
right.
at a horrible time. Aside from that, what we've seen of Cam Smith on Sundays is arguably the best version
yeah.
of Cam Smith on Sundays when the stakes are the highest. The Players and the Opener are two perfect examples of that. And to have a back nine 30
yeah.
at a major, I mean, that just doesn't happen.
It's Jack, it's Phil, it's Johnny Miller at Oakmont. Put it up there with the best closes in golf that we've seen. And I'm curious, do you think he's overtaken Scottie Scheffler for Player of the Year at this point? Do you put Scottie's four with the Masters and a World Golf Championship, Arnold Palmer Invitational in Phoenix, but Cameron has, you know, the TOC, he's got the Players, and he's the Champion Golfer of the Year at St. Andrews.
You got to give the edge to Scottie, but Scottie has played 22 events. Cam's played 16, so Scottie has nine top tens. Cam
yeah.
has seven. So there's a disparity there based on how frequently they've played. But,
yeah.
I mean, Scottie should be rewarded for one more win and playing more events.
Right.
But I do think if Cam gets to four, then it's a really good argument on who's potentially
yeah.
Player of the Year. The FedEx Cup playoffs, which is
why we have the playoffs.
Why we have
That's
the playoffs,
exactly right.
especially the way the crescendo is with the men's professional schedule, big events from March
yeah.
through August. August is going to be what finally decides this heavyweight
yeah.
bout, because these are really the two guys that are left, considering they have a major and three or more wins.
Still lots to play for in this season on the PGA Tour and the greater world of golf, but congratulations to the Champion Golfer of the Year.
Yeah, amazing stuff to see from Cam Smith. And how about this? I'm always curious with the green jacket. They have a garment bag that
right.
you can either put in the overhead bin or you just wear it on the plane. But what do you do with a claret jug? You're not checking that.
You're not checking it, but you better stay awake like the whole flight. Like, what if he wakes up, take a little half hour snooze, and the jug is gone?
Yeah, via JudgeWise on Instagram. Cam Smith, some of his precious cargo on his flight in the comments, certainly doesn't fit in the overhead bin.
Oh, too good. Congrats to Cam. We're just getting started on this Monday. Got plenty more reaction to Cameron Smith's win at St. Andrews, including a visit from Sir Nick Faldo, knows a thing or two about hoisting the claret jug. Did it three times, by the way. Stay with us. It is Monday, and it's Golf Today.
Congratulations. Super proud of you. You sit outside, you know, a few beers tonight and fill the cup. Have you estimated how many beers it's going to take in there to drink it all?
I'm going
to
guess two. Yeah. Two cans of beer.
How many more will you have after that?
I'll probably have about 20 claret jugs.
Well done, mate.
Oh, he earned it, right, George? I mean, wouldn't you?
Of course. And how good is this from Shane Lowry, 2019 Open Champ at Royal Portrush? I know a bottle of Jameson fits perfectly. I know Shane loves having a good time.
He does.
Was probably low on sleep, full of cheer, or as the Irish say, full of the crick.
Yeah. Well, how about Cam Smith with the update, how he's been celebrating with the claret jug just this morning?
Hey guys, I guess everyone's been asking the question of how many beers fit in the claret jug. It's pretty much exactly two. Had a good night last night with it.
Seems like he had a good time.
the energy level a little low for Cam Smith, but notable Open champions at St. Andrews, this dating back to World War II, just kind of a who's who of golf royalty.
Really is. You know, look at 1984 at Seve, 1990 Sir Nick Faldo, Big John Daly, Tiger twice, Jack twice. It's just a special, special place. And speaking of 1990, right now we're joined by the three-time Open champ Sir Nick Faldo himself. It's great to see you. It was great seeing you last week also. What was it like for you watching Cam Smith join your club yesterday as an Open champ at St. Andrews?
Well, it was pretty exciting. You know, I was on the call with Sky. And, you know, isn't that amazing that the last two holes, three guys could win it and all the different scenarios, even right to the 18th. If Rory had made that putt on 17, who knows what, you know, the different scenario could have been. He could have finished birdie to win at 20 under, or if Cam didn't get up and down, or all sorts. But, you know, it was fantastic. I'm just still, stunned by that man's touch. You know, as you watched it at the weekend, you know, all those up and downs, the two putts on, you know, 12 and 14, and then obviously 17 and 18, and he brushes in a couple of birdies as well. I mean, that man's putter is unbelievable, isn't it? Obviously, you can read him great. That's the other thing we forget. We all point at the putter, but he's obviously a great green reader and gutsy as well. I mean, it was pretty nerve-wracking, you know, the shot he left at 17, I'd been there moons ago in 78 and chipped it the other way around, went up the left side and it came off. But, you know, so when I saw that, it brought back some nice memories for me. But all credit to him, you know, tough luck. Well, worse than tough luck on Rory. Long story short, if he could have just made the odd birdie here and there, I mean, obviously where he drove it on 6 and then a 9, nine was supposed to be the one, wasn't it? If he'd hold that putt, he would have had a three-shot lead. Who knows if that would have been a different cushion or whatever might have happened. But it was a great Open. You know, I think R&A must be so happy that it really was a fantastic atmosphere.
Yeah, it was a spectacular week at St. Andrews. I know we have a lot of Rory questions to get to, but Sir Nick, I'm curious, at what point could you sense the momentum had shifted where Cam was going to win it? What was the defining moment for Cam?
When he held the putt on 11, when he made that birdie, I thought, oh, hello. You know, he is charged. I mean, to make a 2 at 11 was very impressive. That back pin is, you know, he was playing bold, brave. I mean, to go get it up on that back tier required a great shot. It holds it. Then, as I said, then the 2 putt from the front level at 12, and then bang. And I guess so that little stretch, you know, 11, 12, 13, obviously put him, made his, he wasn't even blinking after that, was he? His eyes were this big. And then the up and down at 14 was off the chart. So, and I think then all of a sudden, you know, you can feel the tension in the air. Rory was cruising and enjoying it, and then kind of his and relaxing, and then suddenly his face kind of changed. He realized, wow, this might not be a cruise to get a 2 or 3 shot cushion to win this. He was suddenly, you know, a shot back or so, and it was now going to be a fight. And Cam's been finishing off tournaments very well. It's not like the guy's going to, get in his own way when he's trying to win.
You know, Nick, Cam made up a 4-shot deficit. You made up a 6-shot deficit at the Masters in 96. You shot 67. What's going through your body at that point when you're making putt after putt? The deficit's getting smaller and smaller. And then for you, the pressure on your shoulders on that second nine.
Yeah, it was very different when you're actually, you know, obviously I was playing with Greg and you're chasing one guy. So this was different because, you know, this was a lot more going on around them. Other guys were in the mix as well for a while, jostling as well. So it's only the cool thing, you know, they played all week and we still didn't know what really was going to happen for the last two holes, which I think is exactly what everybody wants. So, you know, he just, you know, 4 back, as we know, well, hey, got to give him credit. He shot 10 birdies when he won the Players on Sunday. Wow, and he's 8 birdies to win an Open on a Sunday. I mean, that is that speaks for itself, doesn't it? That's seriously good nerve and touch. That's the bottom line, and determination. That's what I put it down to.
Sir Nick, you called Cam Smith's play on Sunday brave. You look at Rory McIlroy, and too often in majors, it's been the same type of story where we see this version of Rory Thursday through Saturday, and it's different than the Rory we see on Sunday when he's in contention. Can you diagnose why that's been the case dating back to the 2014 PGA Championship?
Yeah, well, you know, he's carrying a lot of scar tissue, and I thought this week he was actually in a really good place. I chatted with him way back on Wednesday morning. He's striking the ball beautifully. You know, he was free. He hit beautiful shots. No real shots cost him. It's just, you know, the second shots just weren't close enough. And if you're always putting, you know, obviously 30 feet or even 20 yards away here, you measure everything more in yards than feet because these greens are so enormous. There was never really anything. But then a couple of holes he played so well, you know, hit a great drive down two. That was a very accessible pin. You know, you pull it a little bit, it's a little long. He does the same six. Hits a great drive down six and then squanders it a bit. So that's something you've got to make happen. Seven, he hit it left of the ridge, pulled that one again. Nine doesn't get up and down, blocks it right, lovely clear run to the green, and doesn't get the touch right. So as we've been saying, it was either, you know, his wedge play, it's short wedge play because they were driving it so far, and all the way down to 16. 16, he drove it so far down there, whether that was the right thing because you were probably a bit too close. I'd love to now think in hindsight, he played it off the crosswalk and then quite a slope, absolutely, obviously even more rock hard on the crosswalks where all the fans have walked. He could have thought about that one, dropping that one somewhere to get a little better lie. You know, he pulled that one again outside the birdie range, then hits a fantastic shot, the 9-9 into 17, and once again doesn't make it. And so then he's deflated because he couldn't do it. He had to make a two at the last. So you just got to get the iron shots just a little bit closer. I mean, that's the really bottom line. I thought he was a lot freer with the swing. And unfortunately, he's got to wait all the way to Augusta before he gets another go at a major.
So, Nick, the optimist says, hey, he had four top tens in the major championship season, and you mentioned the freedom of his game. The pessimist says, well, this is going to be more scar tissue and the long wait. Which one has more weight in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's a lot of scar tissue. He'd be really hurt from this one. He really wanted to win this. Obviously, he's Rory McIlroy to win this 150th. Open, as I said on TV, nobody's going to. Everybody knows you won the 150th. They will know the name, won't they? When you say I won the Open, they go, "Oh yeah, you won the 150." So I know he wanted this one, and I think he knew he was good enough to do it. He was trained. So yeah, you look at the positives where I think he's pulling off great shots when he really needs them. So that always gives a player a boost. You know, you kind of love that, relish that. It's a wonderful tick in your. You know, your real positive, determined box. And the other side is, no, not again, not another one. It's another chunk of scar tissue, another disappointment to deal with. And, you know, I bet he, like many, he would wish there was another major in another month because you'd love to just get back in Rob and having to sit for and wait for whatever it is, long way, aren't we? About 8 months to go before the next one. So that's... That will hurt him for a while because he wants to plan and plot where he wants to play. But, I don't think there's much. Today will be a rough day for Rory, I would have thought.
Yeah, 262 more days until the Masters. And, Sir Nick, can't let you go before wishing you a happy birthday.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, it's we're going to put it on social soon. You know the guy who did the sand? What do you call them? They're not the sculptures.
The sand feature, but sculpture,
With the engravings in the sand. Hey, he just did a happy 65th for me in the sand, so we droned it on that. So how cool is that? I got my own sand, my own St. Andrews sand, whatever, sculptures, whatever you want to call it. I can't think of the right word for it, with a bit of St. Andrews about it. So that. So that's my little present, and then and now I'm going to the spa. I think I need a nice massage after I've been on the road for 3 weeks. So I'm ready for a bit of chill time before I get back to the States. Yeah. I get 18 minutes of chill time. Thank you very much.
Love that. And Sir Nick, real quick, I know you're winding things down with CBS. Was that, are we going to have you involved with more majors in the future? Was this your
finale? Absolutely. I want to cut down on, you mentioned full time. I've been on the road since I was 18. Yeah, it's a tough life, flying hotel rooms. Once you started pacing the size of a hotel room, you think, you know, you're in trouble.
When you wake up, you don't know what town you're in, that you're in trouble. You know?
We've all been there. God, you know, yeah, I do wake up in a jolt and go, where the heck am I again? Anyway, so... No, I think we do some talking with some people and see. You know, I love calling the big stuff, the majors.
Yeah.
What else have we got? You know, of course, we've got Ryder Cup next year as well. So let's see what happens. You know, I like being at the sharp end of when the rough stuff's going on Sunday afternoon and you can get in there. So, but you know, Lindsay and I are really looking forward to our new world of up in Montana and cuddly animals and farm life and all sorts of, and the river is calling me. I can't wait. I've got more friends sending me fishing rods than golf clubs right now. So it's really, can't wait.
Well, happy birthday, and I tell Damon to just take it one spa at a time.
That's right, one spa at a time. Absolutely. The great
one spa at a time.
Golf Hall of Fame member, birthday boy, yeah. Sir Nick Fowler.
Thanks so much.
All right, thanks guys. Cheers.
All right, it was a heartbreaking end of the week for Rory. Just talked about him with Sir Nick. Going to dive a little deeper on the week that was for the four-time major champ when we come back. Well, Rory McIlroy had the fans on his side Sunday, playing in his 200th round in a major. Third-round co-leader carded a 270 to finish two behind the eventual winner, Cameron Smith. McIlroy picks up his ninth top three finish in 55 major starts. And since his win at the 2014 PGA, has accumulated 17 top tens in majors, the most of any player in that span. And after his round, Rory met with the media.
Disappointed, obviously. I felt like I didn't do much wrong today, but I didn't do much right either. It was just one of those days where I played a really controlled round of golf. I did what I felt like I needed to, just apart from capitalizing on the easier holes around the turn 9, 12, 14. You know, if I hadn't made the birdies there, you know, from good positions, it probably wouldn't have been a different story. I got beaten by the better player this week. You know, 20 under par for four rounds of golf around here is really, really impressive playing, especially to go out and shoot 64 today to get it done. I'll rue a few missed, you know, sort of putts that slid by, but you know, it's been a good week overall, and I can't be too despondent because of how this year's went and how this year's going. I mean, I'm playing some of the best golf that I've played in a long time, so it's just a matter of keep, you know, knocking on the door, and eventually one will open.
How difficult do you think it will be to deal with the disappointment of this one that got away?
I'll be okay. It's not, you know, at the end of the day, it's not life or death, and I'll have other chances to win the Open Championship and other chances to win majors, and you know, it's one that I feel like I let slip away, but you know, there'll be other opportunities.
And the way you've progressed through the majors this summer, you now look like you've got a handle on how to deal with them and to deal with the situation of trying to win one. And the way you play today, it looks like you will win one again.
I hope so. You know, I just got to keep putting myself in position, keep putting myself in there. And you know, whenever you put yourself in that, you know, in that shining light, you're going to have to deal with setbacks and deal with failures. And today is one of those times, but I just have to dust myself off and come again and keep working hard and keep believing.
You look at Rory's major season in review, his major finishes, runner-up, at the Masters, but that was that Sunday 64. He finished three shots back of Scottie Scheffler, top 10 at the PGA Championship, T5 at the U.S. Open at the Country Club, and then third at the Open. So top 10 in all four majors with three top fives. But the drought rolls on.
Back on Golf Today to take you back to the 2017 Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Cameron Smith and his partner Jonas Blix edged out Scott Brown and Kevin Kisner, the win marking Smith's first ever on the PGA Tour. And afterward, his teammate Blix with some high praise that left Cameron speechless.
He's going to be a superstar one day, and you can see it now. So I'm very proud of him and should be very proud of himself. And I mean, this is awesome.
Cameron, this is a changing event for you. You're now in the Players' Championship, a two-year PGA Tour exemption through 2019. How is this going to change the way you look at a schedule, knowing what's out there now?
It's awesome, isn't it?
Somewhat speechless. He's overcome.
Speechless then, a bona fide superstar now. There he is, major championship winner, joining his Players' Championship from March. Three wins in all in 2022. And I tell you what, joining a list of Aussies, Georgie, to win the Open.
Best part about that interview, they say, receive spot in the Players. And then, of course, goes on to win the Players.
Why not?
This year, the rare feat of winning the Players and the Open. You look at Aussies who have gone on to win the Open. Peter Thomson, a legend, five times he hoisted the claret jug. Kel Nagel back in 1960, defeating Arnold Palmer, Greg Norman two times, Ian Baker Finch, and now Cameron Smith makes it five to round out that list. So with that, great to be joined by Aussie Golf TV presenter Luke Elvey. Luke, I know that Aussie golf media usually very understated when touting a champion from their homeland. So curious your reaction to the news of Cam Smith winning the Open.
Yes, you nailed it, George. It is rare for us to be able to have such magic moments. You know, this is just, the third Australian male to win a major championship in the last decade. Big year for Australian golf. Minji Lee, who was incidentally the 2013 Australian amateur champion alongside Cam Smith. She won the women's, he won the men's, and now in the same year she's won the US Open and he's won the Open Championship. It really was, you know, an enormous day for Australian golf. I tried to reflect upon it on social media. Those who follow probably would have seen the euphoria that I was showing. But it was a big moment for Australian golf and we needed it, given the last couple of years that the nation has really suffered through the pandemic. We've had no big championships. There's been no focus back home on golf. And for our stars abroad to shine the way they have, monumental. Cam's victory will do much to Australian golf, much like Adam Scott's Masters victory did in 2013.
Luke, on that note, we saw Adam Scott coming, former world number one, was very much ballyhooed as a young player. Jason Day, similar. Mm-hmm. For the American golf fan who didn't really were familiar with Cameron Smith maybe before the last couple of years, you know, what was the scuttlebutt like when he was a young player coming up?
Well, as I mentioned, Damon, he won the Australian Amateur in 2013. He's a real, bulldog-type player. He's someone that punches well above his weight, if you'd use a boxing parlance. Diminutive in stature, but lion-hearted, and that's a formidable combination when it comes to pro sports. And who writes him off, it's almost to his favour. They don't expect him to be good, and then he shows up and beats them. He's had to grind his whole way into where he is right now. In 2015, he got a start on the PGA Tour by virtue of being in the top five on the Asian Tour money list to play in that co-sanctioned event in Malaysia. Top 10 there, got himself a start on the PGA Tour, got a couple of more opportunities after that, and then qualified for his first major championship, which was the 2015 US Open at Chambers Bay. He made eagle on that final hole to finish fourth, got him into the Masters, it got him full-time exemption on tour, and off he went. And he's just every step along the way into becoming an Open champion and one of the truly great players in the world.
You touched on the Australian major champions over the past decade. I mean, Adam Scott just exuded cool. He almost crossed from just being a golf superstar to a pop culture superstar. Jason Day overpowered golf courses. What do you think is the perception of Cameron Smith, who's an amazing putter, has the mullet? He's kind of more of a shy and bashful type. He's not very demonstrative. What's the perception of him back in Australia?
Much like the state he comes from, the state of Queensland, which both Jason Day, Adam Scott, Greg Norman, Ian Baker Finch, a lot of our great champions, Kari Webb, they all come from Queensland, and it's that real underdog spirit. And incredibly, this week, our great sporting rivalry in rugby league, which Cameron's an enormous fan of, is the state of origin. Queensland upset New South Wales to win that series on the Wednesday before the championship began. And he used that come-from-behind victory, or that underdog victory, to spur him on against the enormity of Rory McIlroy and the crowd support behind him on that championship Sunday. And that's really where it comes from. It's an underdog spirit. It's a people don't expect him to be great, but he knows within his heart he is. And that's the rarest kind of belief, isn't it?
Luke, doesn't get much bigger than winning an Open at St. Andrews. Where does he go from here? How does he keep things simple?
That's a good question, Damon. You know, he's obviously become one of the bigger names on tour now. The mullet is very recognisable everywhere he goes. He's got that sort of symbolic look about him. He does it in a very calm, casual manner. I mean, the way he played down the stretch, you know, five birdies to start the back nine when you need the most at the old course in the 150th Open. It all just adds up to being something special. And that putt on 17, which ultimately iced it for him. He's going to be in the spotlight more. He's going to have to learn to accept focus a lot more. The Players' Championship moved him to a level, but this has taken to, you know, stratospheric levels now. And, you know, given the question he copped in the, you know, championship when it was, you know, straight about live golf, and he's like, whoa, let me just enjoy this moment. I'm sitting here next to the claret jug. Let me soak it in. But this is the world we live in now. Things just move so quickly and there's so much more demand, and that will be a real challenge for Cam. I hope he seeks the, you know, the kind of counsel of Adam Scott and Jason Day, who have gone through it before him. Jason Day is managed by Bud McMartin, the same agent for Cam, and maybe they can spend a bit of time just talking about how best to deal with this newfound fame.
A final question, and talking about soaking it in, who do you think was able to take their celebration to the level of enjoying it the most out of Adam Scott, Jason Day, and Cam Smith?
I think they've all pretty much have a lot of fun, and rightly so. Adam got to do this glorious tour around Australia with a green jacket. We'd never seen it before in Australia, and I think that was pretty amazing for Australian golf. He sort of gave it the necessary boost back in 2013 that the game needed back home. With the claret jug, as you saw, that list of Australian winners. And guys, just quickly on that, you saw Peter Thompson there five times. He passed away a few years ago, and his son Andrew made a pilgrimage to the Open Championship this year and actually scattered his father's ashes on the 18th green on the morning of the final round. And I just wonder if Tomo had a little bit of, you know, just help a few of those putts go in on Championship Sunday for Cam. I think they've made a pretty good start with the celebrations, to answer your question, Georgie, and I think he'll keep going for as long as he can. But it's back to work, he said. He's focused on trying to now win the FedEx Cup and see where he goes from there.
Luke, as always, enjoyed the chat. Thanks for the perspective.
Pleasure, guys.
Mentioning Peter Thompson, won the Open at St. Andrews in 1955. Tiger twice, winning at St. Andrews 2000 and 2005. But the images that will resonate from the week that was, Tiger on 18. Will that be the final time we see him at the old course? We're going to have our biggest takeaways from the Open next on Golf Today.
We saw a performance I think that the game will never forget. 150th Open, the signs were everywhere, the yellow scoreboards, almost everyone on property wanting Rory McIlroy to get it done. And with that energy, with that emotion, Cameron Smith found a way to a back nine 30 at the old course.
Cam Smith is like in professional sports in the U.S. when you're on the road.
Yes.
And you just silence an entire crowd of 20, 50, 70. Like, I've talked to buddies in the NFL, and they said there's nothing better than going to a road environment and having 70,000 people fall silent because you've broken their, like, hearts at the very end. And Cam Smith basically was a road player at St. Andrews at the Old Course and did all the talking with his clubs. Couldn't have been more gracious with what ultimately unfolded, but seemed to embrace the environment he was in and just had the stare going on every putt and seemingly made everything.
That's the thing. I knew he had the game. I didn't know he had the gumption to be able to do what he did on that golf course. Yeah, the short game we knew about. We knew about the putter, but there was so much more going on this week with the fracturing at the top levels of the game and Rory. Everything seemed to be kind of leading toward a Rory, I don't want to say coronation, but a victory that would have transcended the game. I think it would have been for Rory a major and a half just because it was the holy grail that he and others were seeking because of the fact that it had been 8 years since his last, because he's been such a forceful spokesperson for the PGA Tour and for digging it out of the dirt. It's just with all of that emotion, there was Cam Smith saying no, no, no.
Today is not your day.
Yeah.
And you look at the winning moment as Cam Smith salted this away. And don't forget, he had to birdie the 72nd hole to win by one. 19 under was already in the clubhouse when he birdies the last. And that was with Cameron Young, who was playing in the same group. Ties the record for lowest 72-hole score to par in a major at 20 under, and you see the lowest 72-hole score at St. Andrews eclipses what had been the top mark from Tiger Woods back in 2000. Just a remarkable week for a player who's now elevated himself from, okay, he's having a career year to, hey, is he truly now a great player?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's been an historic season for Cameron Smith. But how about outside of Cameron? What else kind of stood out to you as you reflect on the week that was?
I mean, I thought St. Andrews was spectacular, but you got to dig in with Rory McIlroy. And you were saying, I mean, it was almost like the Holy Trinity going into Sunday, where you had Rory McIlroy, the Old Course, the 150th playing of the Open. I saw a tweet. There were three guys going by a cathedral, and someone shouted out, "Pray for Rory." I mean, that was that was like the environment for Rory. Like, all the Rory golf fans. Like, finally.
Save Ferris Bueller.
We are going to believe that this is when it's going to happen. Yeah. And Rory's DNA, we know, overpowering golf courses, the best driver of the golf ball in the game. Like, he should feast on par fives and drivable par fours. The putter is going to be what people look back on. 36 putts in the final. The two moments I had where I was like, you kind of cringed a little. You're like, okay, it's slipping away. He had one hand on the claret jug going to the back nine. The first one was on the 14th. We saw Cam Smith end his birdie streak.
Yes.
There, he kept it. That was his fifth in a row.
Right.
Hit his iron in hand, back of the green. That has to be your miss. Lagged it up to tap in range, makes birdie. Rory, iron in hand, fans it out to the right. Winds up short. You can't miss short there, especially when you have an iron. Fails to get up and down. You go on the back of the 11th green. You lag putt from 60 feet. It should be a ho-hum birdie. So with Rory's length, you have to take advantage of the 14th. Then on the 18th, we just saw Cameron Young put it to 10 feet, make eagle. Rory's the best driver of the golf ball in the game. The best.
Yeah.
Number one, drivable par four. In the biggest possible moment and stage, you need to make eagle. Comes up 40 yards short.
Yeah.
I was shocked by that. So those were the two moments that just surprised. It could have been a miss hit. You have no idea what exactly happened. Rory would know the feels that he had on those two shots. But it was surprising when his DNA is overpowering golf courses that it was his lack of power in two big moments that popped up.
For me, the tell was the third hole that missed short putt for birdie. Reminded me a little bit of a miss that he had at Augusta National final round paired with Patrick Reed back in 2018. But for me, I just wonder, I think the game was there. It was this itty-bitty town. Rory staying next door to the Old Course. I actually saw him in the lobby on Thursday morning.
Waving to Poppy.
Everybody is there. The weight of the moment. I think he had the game. He knew what was at stake. And yet, I think those mistakes that he made, and he didn't make a bogey, but the iron's not being sharp and the putter not being able to find the bottom of the hole. I just wonder, was there something going on where the weight of history, his own personal holy grail, not to mention trying to win your first major since 2014, did that kind of rob him of the flow that he had had for 3 days? Just the weight of it.
You have to think it did.
Right? Everything. I mean, he was making everything. It was beautiful to watch. It was Rory in full flight. And then all of a sudden he shoots 70 on a day where Cameron Smith just runs right by him. I just wonder if with everything he's been able to stay in his bubble, and he talked about it so beautifully, about sticking with the process, staying in my bubble, not projecting, trying not to think about it even as you're thinking about it. I just wonder if it was just too much at the end of the day with those small clubs, those touch shots, those feel shots, the wedges from 110 yards, the putts from 10, 15, and probably too many times on Sunday, 20 and 25 feet, exactly, that didn't find the bottom.
Yeah, and we heard Cernik say Cam Smith played with bravery on Sunday.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that when Rory has a lead or a share of the lead like we did, say, in 2012 at Kiowa when he goes and wins by eight. Or 2011 at Congressional. He goes on and wins by eight. It was the same type of fluidity and freedom from Thursday, Friday, Saturday into Sunday where Rory could extend leads and win by margins we hadn't seen since Tiger Woods. That hasn't been the case, and I wonder, to your point, if he feels the weight of this drought. And I was going down this wormhole yesterday because Rory, he's so perplexing. You have this amazing ascension. It's the precociousness of youth to win four majors in your 20s, but now the drought dates back to August 2014. Yeah. It'll be going on 8+, almost 9 years next year. So the longest major gap for guys who have won five majors or more, last 100 years, because Rory's at four, so the next one, if he wins the next, will be his fifth.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods had that gap for major 14 to 15. It's his swan song, most likely, winning the 2019 Masters. Lee Trevino, it was a 10-year gap. That was 5 to 6. So both those guys, that was them riding off into the sunset.
Right.
So where's a corollary for Rory? You have to go back 100 years. Gene Sarazen won three majors in his early 20s, then had a nearly 10-year gap into his 30s and won four more.
Yeah.
That's the only historical equivalent for a player who won three or more majors in their 20s and then three or more in their 30s as a second act.
Yeah.
So if you go upside case, well, Phil didn't win his first major till 34. So, and he went on to win six.
Right.
So Rory's 33. Maybe he could go on to win 3, 4, 5, or 6.
Yeah.
Or is there enough scar tissue that's building up where maybe he wins one more, or maybe he doesn't win another? Like, they're hard to win.
He said that he wants his 30s to be better than his 20s, and that's getting harder and harder as time continues to march on for the four-time major champ.
There's only four a year. And if you're at your peak for maybe, what, 10 years, 15 tops, it's 40 to 60 total majors.
It may not be as good as it has been for him, and that may be where he is right now, though I think he has to take the glass half full view considering how well he played in the majors, maybe better than he's played since 2014. How about Tiger, though? I mean, that was also one of the storylines. He was front and center in the celebration of champions, standing on that Swilken Bridge with Jack Nicklaus, 33 major championships between them. And then he comes out on Thursday, and everyone with bated breath, they cannot wait to watch the 15-time major champ perform. He lands into a divot with his first, makes six on the first hole. We're all watching him on Friday, wondering if he's going to stop on the bridge and take off the hat. He did take off the hat. He didn't stop. And he kind of continued to march.
He gave you a hezzy.
He was gone. But, where do you see Tiger now in his major championship season that was?
And that first hole reminded me of, like, a little kid, like, skipping with balloons. And then face plant, all the balloons pop. And it was like the air was completely out of his week at the Open within two shots.
He was. So he was chasing it immediately.
I don't know if we'll – I hope, selfishly, we see Tiger at the Old Course again. I know Tiger would love to compete there again. But the degradation of his leg, I don't know how much room for improvement there necessary. I don't think
He even said it's not going to get much better. But I tell you
– So I think – to expect to see Tiger playing at a high level or contending again, just to see him is a treat for golf fans. But that kind of felt like the moment that we'll look back where maybe that I don't see Tiger as a guy to soak in a huge goodbye because he's such a hardened competitor.
Yeah.
Where that might have been it at the Old Course. But what are your thoughts?
He also, I mean, I was in the room when Henny Koyak, a colleague from Sky, said there's rumors that this is going to be your, you know, long goodbye. He's like, retire? Me? No. Is that seven? One, two, three, four, five. Seven no's to the question about retirement. That's just not how he's built. I don't think he's going to stick around missing cuts. If he can't get more out of his game, I think there may come a time where he has to look in the mirror and say, is this worth it? But I tell you what, count that guy out to your detriment. He has found a way during times when he shouldn't have found a way. And I'm just not ready. I think this is still kind of part of the process for him. And I think he'll look at this year and what he did at Augusta National in the PGA Championship in particular as something to build on.
Made two or three cuts. So
on a limited Ben Hogan schedule.
Big picture, it was a step in the right direction.
Yes.
A successful comeback for Tiger.
Yeah.
Just to tee it up.
We haven't heard the last of Tiger. We may not see him again until December, Hero or at the PNC Championship.
It's December major schedule to see him and Charlie try.
It's his fifth major now.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it's so special to see the two of them playing together. We will see more of Tiger for how long is the great unknown.
Absolutely. It was good to see him at the Old Course this past week. And, of course, yes, stay with us ahead on the show. Our colleague Peter Jacobson is going to join the program for analysis. And this was the moment on Monday, celebration of champions.
It's a homecoming.
I mean, this is what the greats do. Everybody else kind of step to the side. Let
what they do at St. Andrews.
The bear and the tiger have their moment. Back on Golf Today, let's take you back to March. Cameron Smith overcame the elements at TPC Sawgrass to win the Players. 10 birdies in the final round, tied for the most ever in one round. The Players, TPC Sawgrass, led the field with just 101 putts for the week, shooting four rounds under par to finish at 13 under 275. And that Sunday looked kind of familiar. Putter back on it. The Old Course, 6 under 30, including 5 straight birdies from 10 through 14. Part of the lowest closing 9-hole score by a winner in Open Championship history.
How about this club?
It's a double. Pretty cool double.
That Cam Smith gets to join. Guys who have won the Players and the Open same year. Anytime you're on a list and there's one other name, that name is Jack Nicklaus.
It's a small table. It's a very small table. Fantastic. Speaking of Jack, very active on social media. What a back nine of golf. Putting at the Open by Cameron Smith. Just fantastic. That was fun to watch. Congrats to the Champion Golfer of the Year. I mean, just special. No better place to do it than the home of golf. Someone else who was there, our colleague Peter Jacobson. A lot of broadcasting for us last week. It's great to see you, pal. I mean, listen, we've talked almost all day about Cameron Smith, still trying to make sense of a display like that. What was your chief takeaway from his accomplishment?
I've always been impressed with Cam Smith. I think his golf swing is fantastic. He gets a little bit long and loose at the top, but when his timing is on, it's exquisite. And I think we've seen his putting is incredible. And at the Old Course, you've got to putt from everywhere. We saw guys last week putting from 40 and 50 yards off the greens. Cameron Smith just seems to get it done. He seems fearless. He almost seems oblivious to the pressure. And I'm thoroughly impressed with Cameron Smith. I just can't even put into words how shocked I was, especially at that up and down he had at 17. The second shot he hit was predictable because that is the scariest shot in golf. But that putt he hit up the side of the road bunker, that was brave. That was really brave. That was Seve-like, the way that if you miss it just a little bit, if you catch it on the toe or the heel, that ball could run up and come back into the road bunker, and you're going to make at least 6, maybe 7, and that's the Open. But he put it up on the green, makeable, and he drained it. So gold stars across the board for Cam Smith last week.
Jake, it seemed like he pressed all the right buttons on that final nine. And Rory McIlroy on the other side, appeared to be in command, but wasn't getting putts to drop. Now, as the drought continues to go on in majors, what do you think is the reason where Rory hasn't showed that same type of freedom on Sundays to close out majors that we see earlier in the week?
One thing that happens when you lead a tournament, any tournament, is the pressure of how do you approach the final round. And I think Rory, even though he was tied with Hovland starting the final day, he was four clear. And maybe he played a little bit too conservatively. I don't know. But the way that the golf course played on Sunday, I thought it was par 67 for Rory with his length, with the drivable par fours. And he shot 70. So in my mind, he shot plus three. I think Rory's going to come back. He's got too much conviction. He's got too much character. I think he's going to use this as a learning example of what he needs to do next time. Everybody has to find their flow. Everybody has to find the way that they have to attack a golf course. Look at Cam Smith. He knew he had to go low. So it was, you know, batten down the hatches. All stops are out. We're going to go at everything. Maybe Rory was not that way. Maybe he was a little cautious. I don't know. But my heart breaks for Rory. He was clearly the people's favorite. You could hear the roars and the cheers all over the golf course. But I think Rory is going to use this, and he will come back bigger and better than before.
Rory was a big-time protagonist last week. So was Tiger Woods. You played with a 19-year-old Tiger at the 95 Open at St. Andrews. What do you remember about that time and maybe where he is today?
It was 1995. I had gotten to know Tiger a little bit as an amateur. He won the U.S. Junior and the U.S. Amateur in my hometown of Portland, Oregon. And I was involved in both those tournaments, so I got to know him a little bit. So when we teed off, Tiger and I were paired with Ernie Els, another young superstar. And I remember Tiger was full of questions. He talked about how to play the golf course, how to control trajectory into the wind. He talked about curving shots. And he was just an open book. He wanted to know everything. I was, I think, 41 or 42 at the time, and certainly not a major champion. I wasn't a great player. I was a longtime player on tour, but he asked all the right questions. And I have to admit, when he finished up, walked across the Wilkin Bridge, and he teared up coming down 18, I did too. I was on the call, and it just made me a little bit sad thinking about the great players in our game. I think about Arnold and Jack and Gary and Trevino. When their skills start to erode, and their legacy is well intact, but we all want to see them. We want to watch them do their best. And I just admire Tiger so much for the way that he's handled himself during this ordeal. And I hope we see him many, many more times at the Open Championship.
Jake, so many special moments last week at St. Andrews throughout the week, the celebration of champions, kind of the precursor to the 150th playing of the Open. You get to the final two holes. You had three guys potentially with the shot of winning it with Cam Smith, Cameron Young, and Rory McIlroy. Now that we have a day to look in the rearview mirror at what happened at the Old Course, what would you say was your biggest takeaway?
Well, my first takeaway was that there's always young talent coming up. I've known Cam Young since he was in high school. He played at Wake Forest. I'm a member at Sleepy Hollow up in New York, so I see him a lot. I see his mom and dad a lot up there. And to see where he's come when he was at Wake to where he is now, it just reinforces the strength of the game of golf on the PGA Tour and around the world. These young kids are willing to take your place at any time. You slip up as a veteran player, there's somebody like Cam Young ready to take your place. And number two, it's just for me to be at St. Andrews, the home of golf, staying at Russick's right there on the 18th fairway. I walked the city every day. Obviously, with jet lag, we're up early. I would just walk the city. I'd go to all the little pubs. I have to admit, I did have a few probably more beers than I normally would have. But I wanted to take in the sights and the sounds, because being in St. Andrews, you can fall out of the Dunvegan. You can fall off a bar stool at the Dunvegan and roll onto the 18th green at the Old Course. That's how close this city is in proximity to the Old Course. It's extremely special, as you guys both know. And I just can't wait to get back, whenever we go back in the future, to another Open at St. Andrews.
Jake, you said it so well. I spent all of last week like one giant goosebump. I loved every second on that property and in that town. Thanks for hopping on with us, and we look forward to speaking to you soon. Have a great week at Glen Eagles. We'll catch up soon.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Good to see you.